top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Right, checking in, eh?
Number five.
Legendary astronaut Buzz Aldrin is suing his kids.
Yeah.
He's accusing them of trying to become co-guardians of his foundation and his private company. He says the kids are out to get him, but the kids say that he's 88 and he has diminished cognitive abilities. He just says they want his dough.
I got people around me who marvel at the agility of my mind, the creativity. Dementia, no way. I don't need to be told what my life, the direction of it, what it should be doing. I'd like to rectify what has erroneously been done. Undo what has been done and have some degree of recovery of losses that I have suffered.
Okay.
Well, if you listen to that, I think he sounds remarkably capable, right?
Well, remember when he got stuck at the gate at the airport and they weren't letting him on the airplane a couple months ago?
Operating an airline here or not?
You want to go see?
No! What'd you say? I want to go through TSA and get on this airplane.
Okay, no problem. We're going to do all of that. Darling, get you on this flight.
Well, why not? It's her fault.
Yeah, but we've seen that from people who are not being accused of being, you know, not right in control of their head. He apparently in April he went through his evaluation, a psychiatric evaluation, and he was scored superior to normal. So now they're doing another test today and tomorrow.
All right, I'm with him. The kids are trying to steal his money. I'm going to go with that.
Me no.
he's
get him on the plane.
Can we just be honest about this? The man has been on the moon!
Yes.
Right? I mean, he's not exactly, you know, he's
looking respect at the rest of us like,
yeah,
you guys don't know.
What have you done? Right?
Right.
All of us.
Right. So he's, and if you're going to have like, you know, yeah, angry old men, certain of them can get away with it. You know, guys who, you know, landed on Normandy and D-Day, they can get away with
absolutely
it.
Absolutely.
It's okay.
True.
Guys who, you know, suffered at Guadalcanal, yes, they get to be cranky old men. Guy lands on the moon, yes. Guy who sat around and did nothing?
No.
Guy who was a radio talk show host?
No.
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 All right. Checking in at
number four.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions is shooting back at his critics and the critics of the Trump administration's immigration policy. Now, 2,000 kids still remain separated from their parents as a result of the zero tolerance policy, right, that became news last week. It's been going on for a couple of months. He was at a law enforcement conference in L.A. today, and he accused the president's opponents of wanting open borders.
In the United States, we have the most generous immigration laws in the world. We make 1.1 million people each year. We put them on a path to citizenship. They get a green card, permanent legal residence in the United States.
Right, because they fill jobs. Right? I mean, isn't that I mean, it's not like a one-way street. It's not like we're just, you know, Santa Claus.
Right.
It's politically the argument is often made that, oh, they're just coming here for the welfare. Well, they're not.
No.
You don't have a green card. You know, that's not how that works.
Well, the president said it himself, I believe, for the first time today, that he says we have so many jobs to fill in this country. We'd like more immigration.
Legal immigration.
Legal immigration, but we want it to be merit-based.
Right. We want them from Iceland and Norway and beautiful.
Slovenia.
Slovenia is good.
Is that on the list?
That's what I want. I want them from there. I do not want them from the other places where the people are ugly. The Attorney General praised today's Supreme Court decision.
We are very pleased with the outcome today and hope that this goes some way toward ending the practice of these broad nationwide injunctions, which in my view gravely threaten the rule of law.
Okay. Well, it took them three times to write a rule that could actually get through the Supreme Court. So why don't you start with that, Attorney General, since it's your lawyers who are that have to sign off on these things because you are the chief lawyer of the United States of America. Maybe you could have gotten to the president and said, you know, tell them all the Muslims to get out of the country and then writing a thing just banning people from Muslim countries. Maybe, you know what, the Supreme Court might not okay that.
You may not love it. And then you're giving interviews saying that that's what you want to do.
Yeah. You know what, throw in North Korea. Maybe that'll help. Ah, don't throw us in! Mayor Emanuel, it's an election year, you know. So Mayor Emanuel had to weigh in on this. A year ago, you would have not heard from him on this.
Had we had a different election, we'd have a different Supreme Court. That was a decision that was 5-4. And I can tell you a different president would have nominated a different Supreme Court justice. A former president had an opening and made a nomination that I think also that decision would have been different.
That's true. It shows you how important our Supreme Court is in terms of issues that affect all of us in our everyday lives. And this 5-4 split is evidence of that. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't, but you do see the meaningful impact of those nominations.
All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Judy's going to tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
A lottery ticket was very unlucky for an armed robber.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's too bad.
Just go for the cash. Don't grab the tickets.
Violetta.
It's a rematch time in L.A. as the Cubs look to take it to the house against the Dodgers. Tuesday night baseball. It's tonight at 9 on WGN-TV.
Could use a win on the north side.
Sure could.
Wins are in short order here. Chicago baseball right about now.
Definitely.
All right. Are we still in the top five? I think we are checking in at
number three.
Protections for victims of sex assault called the Survivor's Bill of Rights got a hearing on Capitol Hill today. Now, this is interesting. Former NFL player and now actor Terry Crews told the Senate Judiciary Committee about his own experience at the hands of a high-powered talent agency at an industry party in 2016.
While we can call attention to a culture of toxic masculinity and the need to disrupt power dynamics, this bill creates long-term change and gives power and control back to survivors.
How about that?
Yeah, it's interesting because the Me Too movement extends to men as well, as he's reminding us here.
Did he? What was the?
He says he's talking about how an agent once grabbed him there and treated him in that way, and that there were jobs and other things taken away from him because of his speaking out and the same kinds of things you've heard from the women who are part of this movement.
Oh my God, a former NFL player.
I know.
You know, I mean, you would think that it's the power dynamic of I've got a job and you need the job and you want these jobs. This is the only way you're going to be able to make
right.
a living.
And then he says he won't be in a certain movie because a producer told him to drop his sexual assault lawsuit or else, you're out of the picture.
See what goes on here?
See?
See? See?
See what happens?
All right, checking in at
number two.
Last night, Jimmy Fallon responded to President Trump's attack for expressing remorse over the 2016 interview that Jimmy Fallon did with Trump where he tousled his hair.
Oh, right.
So Jimmy Fallon, the issue here is Jimmy Fallon did a print interview in which he discussed all of this. And he said that, there was an impact on his ratings and that he was criticized for humanizing Donald Trump in 2016 by being playful with him as opposed to being critical of him. And by saying that, now Trump has gone back after him, saying that he's a nice guy, but he's got no talent. He's got, Trump just went after him personally.
Jimmy Fallon calls me up. And he's like a nice guy. He's lost. He looks like a lost soul. Right? He gets out there. Hey, hi. Oh. But you know what? He's a nice guy. I agree to do a show. And because I guess I was running at that time, I think I was he got tremendous ratings on that show. Killed everybody, right? He should be thankful. He shouldn't be upset and angry.
He's taking aim at Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
And Stephen Colbert and Arnold.
Yes.
Ellery.
Everybody he doesn't like. Now, here is Jimmy Fallon's response.
And he said he called and said, monster ratings? First of all, I've never called this human in my life. I don't have his number. I don't want his number. And Monster ratings. I mean, you know that. If I ever said, did I ever say?
I don't think you said monster cables and monster.
If I meant monster ratings,
right?
I've never said monster ratings. I don't know what he's talking about. By the way, Donald, if you, I don't know if you've seen my ratings the past 2 years, you didn't help my ratings.
that's true.
Really, thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing.
What's interesting is Fallon was the least against the president. I feel like he attacked him the least in his jokes,
but I think that that's what they're saying. His show suffered because he didn't take that political turn that the others did. He stayed that variety, fun, loving show, and the others became very politically pointed.
So it's interesting that he'd attack Fallon now.
Right. Well, every day, everybody's day is coming. If you turn on him, if you disagree with the president in any way, in a public way, and you're a big enough target, he's going to come after you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just that's part of his coda, which is that you do not allow people to take shots at you, and if you do, you hit back twice as hard. That's his coda. That goes back to his earliest training as a young real estate guy in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy Cohen was his lawyer, and that was the Roy Cohen rules, and that's how he did it. Even though it seems irrelevant and it seems not kind of what you want, the leader of the free world, a guy who has the largest arsenal of nuclear weaponry in the world, a guy who can have you killed if he wants to have you killed, in a country that prides itself on humility of power and of being a country that supports you if you are rich or you are poor, if you are the underdog or you are the New England Patriots, whatever you happen to be. That's part of the thing about the American, the energy of the American culture.
Right.
And he's kind of taking this to that place of, you know, I'm a winner, you're all losers, and it's a win. And it's zero-sum gain if I don't win unless you lose. And in America, you know, everybody can, we don't really look at it like that. They looked at it like that in other places throughout history, and it always ended up with a mass slaughter of some sort. Yeah. And even though I think he's just being playful and he thinks it's just being playful, he's mindless. He's not mindful of history and the lessons of history in this. And that's what I think alarms a lot of people, especially me. That's why I can't sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. That's the reason.
That's one of the reasons. That is the chief among them reason.
Number one.
Barry Gibb is not dead. You know, when it's number one, you never know where I'm going with this. Barry Gibb was knighted at Buckingham Palace today by the Queen.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
How about that? Now, his late brothers, Robin and Maurice, you know, the Bee Gees. It's interesting that they both passed on now. There's only, you know,
is he the only survivor?
Barry's the only survivor.
Oh,
he's 71. I mean, they died young. Huh. And they were one of the, you know, I mean, it was one of those acts that you either loved them or you hated them, but mm-hmm. more people loved them than hated them. And the Saturday Night Fever mm-hmm. soundtrack was, you talk to record people and music people, they will say it's one of the most perfectly produced records of all times.
Yeah.
And albums of all times. So Barry Gibb talked to reporters about the experience of being knighted.
We have played for Prince Charles a number of times, and he's very, very affable, very kind, and very sweet to us, and has been to me on various occasions. So it's not like we really know each other, but he sort of has a little bit of a look like, I know you, you know, and mainly about knees. Because when I bent down, he said, you can stand up now. And I said, I don't think I can. And he said, no, it doesn't get any easier, does it?
Sir Barry Gibb. How about
pretty
that?
Pretty great.
It is.
So the Queen didn't do it. Charles did it?
I guess. Yeah, Charles did it. Yeah.
I couldn't make it.
Oh.
pouring rain.
This is a beautiful song.
Yeah, love this one. That you wander far from me. He still has great hair, too.
I'm not sure it's his. Hold on, here comes the good part. You come to me on a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love. Then you softly leave. And it's me you need to show. How deep is your love? Is your love? All right, right there.
Call it Night Fever with
jam.
A K.
Yeah. That's a jam. It's a jam.
It is. Survives the test of time, doesn't
where's
it?
Where's the queen? Why can't she make it down for a BG?
Well, maybe she wasn't there for the BG. You know, she only does the more important people. I don't know. I don't want to speak for her or anything. But I think she doesn't really like him.
That's
what I heard.
Is. Charles, you do something, would you?
Charles needs to do a little more.
I don't know that
he?
Charles
needs to
do anything. Everybody's waiting for Charles not to be the king. They want Prince William to be the king. They just want to move on. We're going to skip a generation here. And Charles is like, oh, I've been sitting around here waiting. I married a woman who looks like a horse just so I can wait here for this to happen.
Is that Johnny Depp?
And nobody seems to care that I'm sitting here waiting to be king. The kids just want it. I just want, what is the Prince William's daughter?
Yeah.
Well, they have a son first, right?
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm.
So that's the next heir. And Harry
unfairly goes to the boys.
Well, no, not anymore.
They stopped it.
They stopped that. It's the firstborn now. But in this case,
the firstborn is a boy.
Right, the firstborn is a boy. But now they just changed that law in mm-hmm. England. So now
just in the last couple of years. So if there was a firstborn was a female, it would go to the female, the crown.
Right. Won't happen in this century now. It doesn't appear because these people hold on, man.
They do.
I mean, they're waiting on this queen. Like, when is she gonna drop?
Well, the queen mom was like, what, 102 or something? My God.
She's trying not to because she knows Charles is next.
Yeah, true.
I've always Everyone wanted knows. To keep this from you. Just really hoping that you abdicate.
He should have, right? Would have been the manly thing to do when he married Camilla.
Exactly. She looks just like an entwine.
There is a story today about how the queen confronted Prince Charles about Camilla Parker Bowles after a few martinis, and what she said was not pretty.
Oh, it's
not a fan.
She's not pretty. I didn't like the first one either. But I really don't like this one. And I'd really prefer if the cute grandson of yours are mine. Whose is it? Could be the next king.
Kate and William's child.
Yes.
Which is
no, what William? King William. Not Charles.
And so Harry's just out of it then, I think.
Oh,
yeah,
Harry.
Right? He's moving down
Harry.
Down the line.
Yeah.
Married an American. Oh, the fat father and everything just drives me crazy. Philip! Philip! Wake up!
He's the real prince in all this.
All right. You know what I got to do here?
The top five at five.